Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You join us, dear listener, midway through a conversation about the word and meal supper. A word and meal I think about quite a lot, but I cannot find a consensus on what it means. Because to me, we didn't really use this word supper in my growing up. It was something from like Enid Blyton books or that kind of thing. But in my head, supper was always something you ate, something sort of in the evening, maybe in your pyjamas, in the winter. It's quite rustic. It's a piece of crusty bread with a fish stew, like a mackerel hot pot or something. And I asked my girlfriend what she thought supper was. She's like, no, it's a cup of tea and a biscuit. And it blew my mind. And I can't really find anyone who's willing to agree or give me a complete definition. And I know I could look in the dictionary, but what's the point when you can talk to people? So I've asked Laura. She's given me a whole new meaning of the word supper. Laura thinks it's like an early tea.
Yeah, I'm same. Supper is not a word that came up in my childhood. But yeah, I thought supper was like maybe like an early dinner, maybe about 5 o'clock, like a, you know,
an early bird theatre special kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But again, I'm with you, a bit smaller than a proper dinner.
Yeah, but I go later. And I think, like, I don't know what it is. Like, I imagine supper is the kind of thing that they'd have in like a tavern in a fantasy novel or a fantasy TV show.
Well, yeah. Also, because the word supper, like, I think it's posh. I think supper is quite like we'll go for supper. Like, it, maybe that's why I think it's early, because I've read it in books where they're doing it before the theatre or whatever. But, like, the etymology of it's making me think that supper almost sounds like the most original. Like, it's almost like sucker, isn't it? Or like to sup, to eat, to, like, it feels like it's almost the more original word for eating.
Yeah, it's not onomatopoeic. It's like, it's the most onomatopoeic sort of like meal.
Yeah, because I suppose dinner comes from dining, to dine.
Dîner is the French word, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So maybe like if that, yeah. Anyway, supper, what does it mean to you? Do you have supper? Is supper a word you use? Let us know. We're at Treasures Pod on all the socials. Tell us what supper means to you. Anyway, we're on our way to Woolerton Hall.
We are. Woolerton Hall in Nottinghamshire.
I bet Colin Holt knows what supper means.
I might ask him. I might send him a text.
Let's ask him next week in the interview.
Yeah, so Colin Holt has sent us there. Colin Holt, actor you may have seen in Being Human.
Ghosts.
Afterlife. Other things. Also creator of the Edinburgh Comedy Award nominee for Best Show 2022. And a man, the character. Also, just a nice little side note, I'm doing tour support for him. But he sent us to Woolerton Hall, which is near where he grew up. So we're heading off there now. We're just on the M23.
Yeah. We've arrived. Will is angry because it's pay to park. He stomped off to pay for that. It's quite nice here. You sort of come in and you're just in the middle of a park straight away. Big children's park. Nice, easy parking. No bays marked out, so you don't even have to worry about whether you're in the lines or not. Oh my God, I can see deer. There's just a load of deer lying around on the grass over there with their full antlers out and everything. Wowzers trousers. Will's back.
Hi everyone, I'm back. I've been and got the car park in. I'm also going to have a quick little check on how close two letters are on the keyboard, because I've given them my wrong car registration number. Though I can't really imagine that they're going to give people tickets.
You'd hope not. Look at those deer lying down over there. Fuck the car park.
Oh,
look at the deer.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Just a load of stags lying down. We'll put pictures on the Instagram, obviously.
The Monarchs of the Glens.
Is that why that was called Monarch of the Glen?
The Monarch of the Glen is a famous picture of a stag on like a mountain in Scotland, I think, or a glen.
Ah.
And the picture is called The Monarch of the Glen.
That's one of the first TV shows I ever remember being really like rooting for two people to get together, you know, where you're like, come on, just do it.
Lexi and Alex.
Wasn't it Archie?
Archie. But Lexi, I remember bloody Lexi.
Of course you bloody remember Lexi.
I also remember the guy, the gamekeeper,
Gilly,
but he always wore like a kilt. It's the first time I'd ever seen a person just wearing a kilt.
Oh, look, there's the hall. Bloody hell, that just sneaks up on you. So we were just heading towards the deer, really, to have a look at the deer, and walking out the car park, and there's some big trees, and then we've come out from under the canopy of the trees, and there's just this incredible looking hall up on a hill. Like, it's really different to anything I've ever seen before. That looks amazing. So the hall is a lovely sort of sandy colour. Lots and lots of windows. But then, what's that, 4 or 5 stories by the looks of it, and sort of little columns. But the top has got little domes over the turrets. So it almost gives it a vaguely Middle Eastern aesthetic to the top. But like a sort of Middle Eastern English grand country house. It's kind of interesting.
A stately home with minarets. I can't believe how docile these deer are.
We are really quite near the deer now. You kind of see how big the antlers are. They are beautiful though, aren't they?
I also feel bad about moaning about paying for parking, because I think we're just in here for free now. Like, I think it's an enter, isn't it, kind of place.
Oh, what, you don't have to get tickets, you just pay to park?
Well, I mean, certainly the deer park, we haven't paid to come in, and also haven't like jumped any stiles, so nothing could stop us just coming into this park, you know?
Yeah, but they can stop us getting into the house.
But what I mean is, if you lived locally or wanted to come for like a cup of tea and a walk around a lovely park, you can just for free.
Yeah, that's quite common with parks.
Yes, but parks aren't often attached to a stately home.
No, but they often have some kind of building in them, like Preston Park and stuff in Brighton. They've all got a stately home right by them.
Do they?
Yeah.
Preston Park in Brighton does?
Yeah.
Well, that's absolutely fresh information for young William Duggan. I'll make a little photo of these deer because it's blowing my mind. I bet if you live round here, you come on like a school trip once a year minimum. Beautiful though.
Yeah, incredible view.
So we're here towards like the end of September. So it's still like, I've got my sunglasses on, I'm in a jumper but not a coat. It's a beautiful, fresh, early autumn day. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Okay, we've reached the top of the hill. We're both a little bit panty, I'm not gonna lie. Not like sexy knickers, just, woof, we might be unfit.
I've never really been out of the idea that I might be a little bit unfit.
So we're right up close to the hall now. It just looks amazing. And there's a big staircase up to the front steps. There is, just to the right of that, I think that is a lift. So it is accessible if you don't do stairs.
The view will absolutely massively, you can see quite far as you said, but when all the leaves go, it's going to be an incredible view out just across Nottinghamshire. Which is nice if you like Nottinghamshire, and if you don't, well, tough.
Right. In we go. Got these cool, like, lion head door knockers either side of the entrance. And there's lots of, so almost like portholes carved into the walls of the outside of it with different statues of people in them. What does that say? Is that Aristotle? Oh, yeah, Plato and Aristotle. Although it actually says Aristoteles. Those ones don't have a name. That looks like Queen Victoria at the top though.
Yeah.
Maybe a Caesar or an Alexander.
Just some great bloody guys really. Just a load of great people.
Yeah.
We head in.
So you walk in, and there's a sort of vestibule-type room, which has got a skeleton of... Well, I mean, what is that a skeleton of? A hippopotamus skeleton. Okay. Purchased by the museum in 1882. All right, never seen... Oh, and on the other side, what's that, like a zebra or something? A domestic horse skeleton. Yeah, okay. So you come through, and then you're in an amazing hall. So... really high ceiling and quite bright. The walls are painted white, and it's not one of those rooms where the walls are too cluttered with stuff. To your right, you've got sort of like a rood screen type thing, but kind of out of stone, and it's got two enormous African elephant tusks in the corner of each one, and then these arched doorways.
There's a really interesting clock that's just got one hand, and I was told that when clocks first came around, they had one hand because no one needed to be that precise.
Yeah.
And the minute hand only got really involved when, like, trains, you needed to know minute by minute. So I wonder if that's actually quite an older style clock, there's either one hand, or if it's just missing a hand.
Probably an older style clock, I would think. Because they just put the hand back on, I reckon.
Yeah, you'd just get the hand, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Ooh, what we're looking at here. So in the middle... so there's a sort of plinth about changes at Wollaton Hall. This is Sir Francis Willoughby.
He was the builder. The builder.
That is Holly's great, 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 great grandfather.
He looks a bit like Holly Willoughby.
Yeah, you could believe that. The builder, yeah. So the Wollaton Hall was commissioned by Sir Francis Willoughby in 1580. All right, that's decent age then.
So what, like 440 years? That's pretty old.
Yeah. It was construction was overseen. Architect was Robert Smithson. It was completed in 1588. That's quite quick, really, actually.
Yeah, but it's a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. 8 years. When you think, like, does St. Paul's Cathedral look like took like 150 years when they're mad? And they've still not finished the Sagrada Familia.
No. Francis owned several coal pits, which helped fund the building. All right, okay. And Wollaton Hall was the Willoughby's family home for 340 years. Quite a while then. So worth it.
And then the Willoughby family, their like symbol is an owl wearing a crown. They've got a photo of. And apparently there are a few of them around the hall. So we'll keep our eyes dotted out for those, Laura.
Okay, we're going to go through the left-hand door now. There's a little rope on the staircase. You can't go upstairs.
So we were told by the people in charge that normally the entire mansion is open, but they've been refurbing for a while, so it should be opening in about a year or so.
Yeah, so we're turning left now into a room that it is much like the Booth Museum. It is a reasonably sized room, and it's got... all the bird boxes with birds displayed in their natural habitat, and then the walls above, there's like wildebeest head, African hunting dog. So I'm guessing the Willoughbys were big game collector, hunter type.
Though I do think most people at that time would have been big.
Oh yeah, if you've got a mansion like this, it's not because you've got morals. So what have we got? A chiff chaff. We've got Jack Snipe. Oh, a Jack Snipe's quite cute. Well, look at this Jack Snipe.
I will look at the Jack Snipe. Hey, a little Jack Snipe. It's got a very long bill, like a needle.
Jack Snipe sounds like a character in, like, Peaky Blinders or something.
Oh,
you don't want to piss off Jack Snipe.
Look at this one, the European nightjar. Beautifully camouflaged.
Nightjar's got, like, a real sullen beak.
Yeah, very sullen.
It's not very sticky outy. It's just a bit like, oh, go on then, I'll be a beak. What are we looking at around here?
A satyr tragopan.
Yeah, so when you come in, it's lots of, like, sort of brown birds that you think, oh, I can imagine seeing that in a hedge. And then you turn around a corner and suddenly it's all a little bit more tropical and exotic to the British eye.
Yeah, like, so you've got a bush strike, a satyr tragopan, a turquoise grass carapete, a
parakeet. Oh, I like the minivet.
We've got yours there, the great bustard.
We've got a minivet here, and they've sort of put it with its wings out and its tail down. It's got bright orange tail and wings, and then almost like an inky blue head, and then bright orange eye again. Will, have you got a picture of the minivet?
I have. I always think of stuff like this. Look at that crocodile up there.
Oh, yeah. A gharial.
So I always think of stuff like this, like very similar to what I do about like fur. Like, I would hate someone to start one of these collections today.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
in the same way that I don't think we should make fur clothes today. But the fact that someone did in the past sort of means I can go like, oh, I'm glad I can see this.
Yeah.
But like, I wish animals weren't dead, but of course...
I wonder, like, I was just thinking then, I guess nowadays, though, we have documentaries, so we can happily see all this sort of stuff without needing to do this, but there was literally no way to do it back then. I wonder if one day they'll look back at, like, Attenborough documentaries and go, it's such a shame that they couldn't do this without flying there and being in the habitat. 100%. They didn't have this way of doing it, you know. Wow, look at this bird of paradise. There's like a greater bird of paradise here, and it's got like peachy, purpley, reddy plumes just flying off it like a big wig. Absolutely gorgeous. Will's driving me a bit crazy here by doing a figure of eight around this museum instead of just carrying on down the pathway we were already on.
So I'm going to explain why I did that. Firstly, I noticed the moose. So I thought I'd take two steps toward the moose. Then my eye was grabbed by what I think is an emu or a cassowary, but we'll see him soon. But then I just saw the golden eagle and the massive cormorant. I was like, well, I've got to have a look at those guys.
So Will's explanation there of why we've gone off wasn't so much an explanation as just, yeah, Will can't focus.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to go back on the path we were on. Come on, Will, we'll see all those things on the way back. What we got here? Back to brown birds, really. Some birds of prey in this box. Eagles and the such. Ooh, a snowy owl. A toucan.
So I found out why they've got birds in here. So obviously the Willoughbys, the family that had this place, they published a book called Willoughby's Ornithology, which is like bird watching, in 1676. So these birds... I think the family were very into bird watching. It's not just like it's quite nice then that they've taken the family's interests and not just gone, what can we do with this room? Taxidermy. It's relevant to the hall. That's quite nice. Look at that walrus.
Finish a sentence. Yeah, there is a walrus up there. I don't think I've ever seen a stuffed walrus before.
No, I also think I've seen a walrus in the real life and they don't look a lot like that.
No, that one has been stuffed to look kind of goofy.
One of my favourite things is like, do you know what I'm going to say? Like when they got people to do taxidermy lions, we've never seen a lion.
Yeah.
But also, I stumbled into like a Twitter rabbit hole the other day and it was like, not even badly taxidermy. It was like somebody had been to Africa and seen a lion and then tried to describe it to an artist and they're all just like men with big manes. It's so fun.
Oh, there's a great crested grebe here and they've got it in the display, the diorama, with a mum and a dad and then five little chicks as well, which is very cute to look at but also very sad when you think how young those chicks died.
Yeah, I think there was a bad winter. I'm choosing to believe it was natural.
So we're back to the bit that distracted Will now. We've got a greater rhea and a southern cassowary. So it was a cassowary, not an emu.
Becca and I went to tropical birdland near Leicester, and I think they had a cassowary, and those feet are insane. It's like when you see one walking, you go, oh yeah, dinosaurs are birds. Like,
yeah. We had that where I was at... Was it some sort of like animal park in Sussex? And the emus were making a noise and they like make like a drumming noise in their throat. It was insane.
And now we're at like the bird of prey bit with all the eagles. So we've got peregrine falcons, white-tailed eagles, golden eagles.
Vulture eagle.
Tawny eagle. Beautiful. Great room. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, all right. So now we've come back out of the taxidermy room and we're in a sort of another anteroom, like the bottom of a staircase again. As I say, the upstairs is closed. And now we've got some stuff about Greek mythology, have we? Oh, because of the paintings on the walls up there.
So it's a painting of the Titan. Maybe. Yeah, it was Prometheus, the Titan who stole fire from the gods. And then there's like, it's quite nice because you can't get up to see this art because of the... refurbishment, but it looks incredible. The whole wall is this mural, but they've got a nice little explanation here. So they've got certainly a modern day painting of Prometheus, who stole the fire, Kronos, the Titan, the father of Zeus, his children Athena and Zeus, Apollo, Hephaestus and Aphrodite, different Greek gods, and then sort of we're in a, like a botany bit. So there's specimens collected by a man called Harry Fisher during an Arctic exhibition in the early 20th century. No, the late 19th century, apologies.
Yeah, so they've got pressed flowers on the wall and then a botany from around the world exhibition.
And then a taxidermy lion. So it's a taxidermy lion, an Asiatic lion. So, oh my God, so this is an Indian lion. And obviously, as we know, the British did some terrible things in India. And one of these lions, we hunted them for sport and to show us a picture of some guys with a taxidermy, possibly even this one. But at one point, there were only 20 of these lions left in the world. And now they're over 650.
They've got cocoa seed there. And interestingly, just this week, I found cocoa beans for the first time in Minecraft. Found my first jungle.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
I found an ocelot as well. Have you ever found an ocelot in Minecraft, Will?
I haven't played Minecraft for quite a while because, I've been sad about the state of my career and I thought I'm wasting time playing Minecraft when I should be writing jokes.
No, you see, I'm sad about the
out
state
for the new Panini bit.
I'm sad about the state of my career, so I play Minecraft because I'm very good at Minecraft. I'm not good at schmoozing. Right, so you come back out of the taxidermy corner, back into this main room again, which I've just noticed there's an absolute shit ton of rifles on the wall, like a sunrise of rifles. A sun rifle. Now we're in the salon. It's got a green carpet and some lovely wallpaper, and I can imagine you can hear instantly the change in the acoustics in here. And they've sort of set it up as a games room.
Keep
kind
your eye
of thing.
Way. So I've just read a thing. Don't look around, Laura. So this is the salon. 400 years ago, it was a stylish dialing parlour. Dining parlour.
They'd come in here, they'd tap the numbers into the phones, and then they'd go somewhere else to actually have the conversation.
200 years ago, it was extended and elegantly furnished as a sitting room. 100 years ago, it was shown all the family portraits. 90 years ago, it was a tea room when the hall became a museum. And in 2012, this room was used as a set. Which film?
Atonement.
The Dark Knight Rises.
Ah.
And then it's a vintage tea room and can be hired. It's lovely. It's got like games and some period dress. I'll get some photos, some nice photo, like a writing desk. I want one of those, like a writing desk for my house.
Yeah.
But I just don't do enough work ever.
I'm assuming it was Wayne Manor then, was it?
You just, excuse me, mate. Hello, sorry. When this was in The Dark Knight Rises, what was it used for in the film?
This room was a bedroom.
A bedroom. Brilliant. Thank you so much.
So there's lots of, there's a dressing up corner for children, and then they've got some examples of old outfits for children on mannequins. So you've got like little doublets and stuff and dresses that children would have worn. There's glass doors overlooking onto like the more ornamental gardens. You've got the deer park out the front. And then you've got the sort of, oh, let's go for a stroll around the roses.
Yeah, lovely room. So they've got like games here that you could sit and play.
Do you want to play a game?
Not really.
Oh.
You don't play drafts. We play Pandemic.
We could play draft. I don't know how to play draft.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Can you read backgammon?
Yeah.
Oh, we've played, haven't we?
Yeah. So there's a cabinet here that's sort of been done out like an apothecary's cabinet. The cabinet itself looks very modern, but I think they've done that so that, yeah, you can pull the drawers out and sniff them. So like this one says rosemary to smell. Oh, yeah, that smells like rosemary. You have to get your nose quite in deep. They've got jars of pickled fruit and vegetables and stuff. Apples from the Willoughby tree, lemon water.
I suppose this is sort of then like for children, which is quite nice.
Yeah, there's a bit of stuff to do. It's nice how interactive it is, really, because you don't often get that in stately homes and stuff. Because it's that toss-up, isn't it, between preservation and making it interesting. So there's a matching cabinet just on the other side of the fireplace, a sort of white marble fireplace. And this has got insects and some bird eggs, so kind of continuing the ornithology thing.
I've got to say, I really like it here.
Oh, hang on, a collector of games. So was somebody in the family a games collector? Yeah, it's from my father that my brothers and I inherited our curiosity and love of learning. His book of games describes many sports and pastimes as he observed them, such as Three Men's Morris and Nine Men's Morris. Yeah, so I think the family must have been sort of games collectors. There's all sorts of shells. There's all sorts of collections in these drawers. There's shells that have been collected. Oh, and there's one with shells to handle, but they've all gone. So I guess people have taken those. My father's travels through Europe. So I've just opened one drawer. And there's...
down through Spain and Germany, out to Austria, through Italy, round into... Yeah, it's brilliant.
That's really prettily done. They've done this so well. It's so interactive and there's like so much to kind of explore and get stuck into.
Just to go back to what you said a minute ago, I think it's absolutely great that it has got this, because we were all dragged around stately homes as a kid and they're tedious. After you're like, wow, this is nice. But you've got like the birds there, which is more educational. And then you can come in here and be like, oh, look, this is how this stuff worked. And this guy liked games and... I can imagine if I lived around here, this would be a classic, what do we do on Sunday? Bring the kids down too. And also, we've barely even explored the garden yet. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, this is fun. There's a little castle that you can build and play with as a child. A little castle playhouse.
You don't often get like these kind of
battlements.
Normally just wall, little soldier.
And then what have we got here? We've got a glass cabinet with a musket that belonged... Henry VI, Lord Middleton, commanded a group of volunteer soldiers and the men's muskets were kept here in Woolerton Hall's armoury. That's why there's the sunrise of rifles in the main room.
There's two of them.
Yeah.
That is so much longer than I thought it would be. You'd be so tight. Also, bayonets. And bayonets are dangerous little things, as I'm sure everyone's aware of, but... Yeah, just turn your gun into a sword if you really want to get someone.
They've got some sketches of Woolerton Hall through the ages. A portrait of Jane, Lady Middleton.
So they found a letter in 1954 that was written in 1830 by William Burton, who I assume is someone who lived here or worked here. And he said that he was one of 40 men who were working in a great hurry to repair the hall, and the men were rewarded with plenty of beer. Now, do you reckon that's as well as money?
You'd hope, wouldn't you? And also, that is going to slow down the building of your house.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Welcome to the site. Here's a crate of Foster's Eat. I'll see you at lunchtime. Do you know, I used to work on building sites when I was like 19, and mostly it was good fun. But there was one site, and they clearly had forgotten they'd asked for a labourer to turn up. So I turned up, and this guy's like, oh, yeah, I don't know. Tell you what, there's all this, you know, that big plastic piping that they feed wires through underground. So it's like maybe a foot in diameter. He went, yeah, it's too big for the skip. So I just go and cut that into like foot long bits and gave me like a junior hacksaw. And I remember doing it for about 5 hours. I was like, I'm just going to go home. And one of the older builders saw me and went, there, take this broom and just walk around looking busy. Did that for a week. So now we're in the Lord Middleton sort of vestibule, off the vestibule.
Yeah.
We continue in the taxidermy sort of apothecary feel. So there's lots of skulls here. It's probably a boar or something.
Yeah, those tusks really go up, don't they? That looks very simian-y, very monkey-y, that one.
I didn't know they had two sets of tusks.
Well, those are teeth, the bottom ones,
yeah,
aren't
they?
Yeah,
they go up with the tusks.
Yeah.
Or would they be in the mouth?
No, that would have to stick out, wouldn't it?
I think a photo of this is like a embossed sort of box, and it's called California Souvenir. But it's just got the body of a scorpion, tarantula, horned toad, centipede and trapdoor spider. I prefer like a little clapperboard.
Yeah, it's much better now we've got magnets. You don't have to kill five things and take them home with you.
Do you like that magnet I got you?
I love the magnet you got me. You're good. It's a cannoli.
It's a canolo.
Canolo, like a panini.
What's that? It's like a...
Oh, there's a... It's There's the sort of skeleton. It's that dolphin thing, isn't it? That's
swordfish.
No, I don't think it is. It's not quite a swordfish, is it? It's It's the dolphin with the long nose thing, the porpoise type thing, isn't it?
Not a narwhal, because they've got a tusk.
I need Shazam, but for skeletons, you know?
This is the first thing, the first time that Woolerton Hall is dropping a point. I want to know what all these different things are. But wait, have they got it back? Because there's a few, like this is a grey seal.
Yeah.
There's all different
Some
names.
Some of them are labelled, but I don't think this long one is.
Fascinating, though. Good to look
What's
at.
What's this tiny skull here? A pterapus.
Ah, yes, a pterapus.
Yes, that's...
One of my favourite
cleared animals. That up now.
And what's in this jar?
In this jar is Nottinghamshire spiders.
Oh, wow.
Just a jar of brine spiders. And there's a lizard in one.
I think if I were like a Victorian gentleman, I'd definitely have a room for just pickled stuff. In the summer, we had the bird room. We're now in the fish room. But as you walk in, there's just the word fish three times. Fish, fish, fish. And it has reminded me very much of my friend Liam, who once said he was going to live solely on water and tuna sandwiches when we were like 17. He denies this when we talk about it now, but I remember it very much. And he used to work at Budgeons, and they used to sell their sandwiches, like the packaging. So if it was a vegetable sandwich, a vegetarian sandwich, it would just say veg, 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 around the border.
Yeah.
Same with meat. But with the fish, it just said fish, 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 fish. And we used to talk about that all the time and just lose our minds. Fish, 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 fish. And it's here now. Fish, fish, fish.
Hello, Liam, if you're listening. So this room is kind of like a mirror of the bird room, but they've done it with fish. They've made the little dioramas of a fish in its natural habitat. So we've got Len Wild, who was Woolerton's first taxidermist. Len Wild was originally a gardener on the Middleton's estate at Woolerton Park and was appointed as a taxidermist when Woolerton Hall became a museum. Len was only 22 years old at the time and held the post for the rest of his life. He created all the diorama scenes in this gallery. Something keeps beeping about us being in here.
No, I think it's that... there's a projector... whacking down, it's like a quiz, just a picture of a fish, and then what is this fish, and it's that that he's like giving
it's
answers.
Projecting onto the floor quiz questions. I understand. So we got pike, we've got an Atlantic salmon. The projector's changing again. It says correct. I don't know why it thinks we knew. Are you supposed to step on the floor to pick? Okay, so someone just walked through and accidentally got the correct answer.
No, we knew what he was doing.
And we now... It's interactive. Turns out it's interactive. I'm very impressed with all of the different stuff they're trying out in this place.
The pike in this diorama has got a little fish in its mouth.
Oh, now you see, I've never seen a pike in real life, but... Oh, Will just got one of the questions wrong. Pike just makes me think of... Sword in the Stone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I get chased by a pike.
We can't yet again talk about the film Sword in the Stone.
It just comes up so much. There's a salmon. God, we're getting questions right, left, right and centre. I don't know if you can hear all this beeping. I'd hate to be called a bleak. There's a fish here that's just called a bleak.
Bit of great news, guys. I bought some boots on Vinted.
Yeah?
And I've been left feedback as a buyer.
Yeah?
How's that happen?
Because some buyers are very annoying. Nice boots?
Yeah, I'll show you them in a bit. Maybe I'll even...
A perch. Wasn't it perch is what he was in Sword of the Stone, wasn't it?
He was a perch in the Sword of the Stone, yeah.
Yeah.
His carp are big, aren't
they? I think as long as we don't mention the squirrels, it's okay.
God, those squirrels.
Right, what are we doing here? Is the name of this fish... Oh, I stepped on the fish and it told me I got the question right. Right, I'm going to try and get a question right. Right, so it's showing me a fish on the floor. Is the name of this fish a chub, a burbot, or a perch?
Oh, it's a perch.
Let's see. Am I Arthur the Perch? I'm stepping on the word perch. I'm correct! Which fish am I? But there's only one option with this one. It's Atlantic salmon. So I guess I'll step on Atlantic salmon. And it was correct. That's good.
Do you know what? I would love it. I would absolutely love it if that had been wrong. And then there's the gift shop.
So there we go. So because the upstairs is closed, that is all we can see today. And then I'd be fascinated to come back when the upstairs is open.
100%. But there's also the deer park and the secret garden. So should we head over there and see what they're like?
Yes, please. Okay, so we've come out the hall, and we turn left, and there's a sign to the cafe, which I will always follow, just for the record. If you've ever lost me, and you see a sign for a cafe, assume I've gone that way. So we're now off to just to the left of the house. You get to see the side view, it's so impressive. And you come out of this, like, little steps down, and suddenly there's a big lake, and another big expanse of deer park.
Do you ever see those, like, old men in... T-shirts say, like, if lost, return to the pub.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you when it says, if lost, return to the tea room.
Yeah. If lost, leave her alone. She did it on purpose.
Yeah. If lost, fuck off. Very nice as well that everywhere we've walked, there's been, like, signs to a more accessible route round.
Yeah.
So if you couldn't deal with the obviously... There seems like quite reasonable amount of benches. If you can't deal with the steps, there was like a way around for wheelchair accessibility and all that kind of thing, which is always great when you see someone that's done that.
Yeah.
What's this building, Laura?
It looks like it would have been stables at some point, or some sort of, you know, off the main house. I mean, it's still impressive. If you lived in this today, you'd think you were posh, but back then it was like, oh, put the servant people over in this. So it's got that kind of a vibe. There's a clock with two arms, way modern. I reckon that's probably a cafe and gift shop in there. There was a gift shop in the main hall. We didn't really record in there because it really was just fluffy toys. What we got here? Woolerton Hall Shop and Visitor Centre. Should we have a look in there?
Let's have a look in there, absolutely.
Oh yeah, this is definitely like stablesy because look, we're coming into a little courtyard thing now.
Lovely little cafe.
So yeah, you go past a cafe and a shop and then into the middle of what we assumed was stables, there is a big courtyard. So this was undoubtedly like stables. There's a deli, lots of outdoor seating.
I love a deli.
We can have some lunch if you like.
I'm not hungry at all, but I just love a deli as a concept.
Because you ate a butt ton of nuts on the way up here.
So many cashew nuts. I feel a bit nutterific.
To our left is Nottingham Industrial Museum.
Unfortunately closed today.
And doesn't that tell you about the British industry these days?
Yeah.
Just no, nothing for Wednesdays. Actually, that is quite funny. Nottingham Industrial Museum volunteers required.
Oh, well, I wish you the very best of luck in your endeavour to find them. Unfortunately, I live too far away.
Yes, very much so. There's a table tennis table. Do you want to play table tennis?
Sure. Are you good?
Am I good, William? Are you joking? Okay, maybe better than you.
I'm not sure if you could hear the dogs barking in the edit that's gone out, but there are two dogs, one on a lead and one not on a lead. And it was the exact example of what kind of dog should be on a lead and what kind of dog shouldn't. Because the dog not on a lead was stood there, silent, being like, what the hell is going on? Mm-hmm. The dog on the lead was losing their mind.
So opposite the courtyard shop and cafe, there's a path that stretches up. And you can just about see a wall with a gate in it. And we've gone up the path, through the creaky gate, and into what they call the formal gardens. So you probably hear
formal
from...
the formal gardens.
It's sort of like a little brick path with brick walls on either side. And we're coming up the path, and you're suddenly in this planted... beautiful garden. You can smell the lavender instantly.
Ooh, you can smell it instantly.
Just hits you. It's quite wild and relaxed for a British formal garden. You know, sometimes these stately homes, they're a little bit, oh god, you've almost like they've ironed the grass. This is just a little bit more casual, a bit more country cottage choice of flowers than sometimes they are.
And there's also the Camellia House, which I might be pronouncing incorrectly, but they sort of a tea room in there, and it was designed in 1851. And it was the inspiration.
Well, it was built in 1828.
Yeah, sorry, but in 1851, I apologise, Joseph Paxton came to see it, and he designed the Crystal Palace Pavilion in 1851 with the exhibition. And this was apparently the inspiration. And according to this bit thing I'm reading here, the style of building was very new in 1828 when it was built, so it featured underfloor heating.
Ah.
That's incredible.
So you can grow more tropical stuff in there.
Yeah.
Well, you can hear geese and swans honking in the distance. I always like that sound. It sounds all fancy. And there's a squirrel running across the lawns. Hi, squirrel. I had a squirrel in my front garden the other day, Will.
Oh, yeah.
It was on the fence. And
then it came in.
Then I said to him, but what do you really think? And he told me. No, it was on the fence. And then it ran along the fence. And it ran up one of my sunflowers and was sitting on the stem of my sunflower, pulling the seeds out of it and eating them.
Wow, how sturdy are your sunflowers?
Well, sunflowers are pretty sturdy, they're quite thick.
Yeah, but I always think that, you know, I suppose bamboo, isn't it? It's very thick, it's a plant.
Yeah, a different plant is the same.
Different plants, yeah.
Oh, I think I spy some sort of folly building in the distance.
So, we'll head to the folly, but guys, sneak peek, La Treasure exclusive.
Very old. It's not a folly, I don't think. It actually looks a bit more modern. Ignore me.
Now, these gardens have actually come up behind the house. And that's a very nice view, isn't it, of the house?
Yeah, so the gardens have taken us right round the side and up round the back, and now we're coming up some more steps. And the bit that I described that you could see from the folly, we're now in that bit. So there's a couple of statues who are draped. There's two of them draped so that you can't quite see bottoms. And then the two on the end, just cheeks out. Bums galore.
And you've got to assume willies.
They look a bit feminine to have willies.
Fannies.
Yeah, fannies or willies, one of the two. And actually, that tree looks almost like a naked lady.
Yeah.
Like one real saggy tit, one pointing up, and then a tummy button.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then a leg coming down. Yeah. Take a picture of that, put it on the Instagram.
Sure.
A nudie tree. Pigeon.
One of the first live birds I've seen. Not ever.
What's that thing in the sky? Oh, that looks like there's some excavation going on over there though, Will.
Yep, there does.
Do you want to see what the excavation is?
Yeah. Hello. Hiya.
It is an archaeological dig.
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
We are looking for evidence.
Do you mind being recorded? Sorry, we're making a podcast. Is that okay?
No, don't mind at all. We're looking for evidence of an orangery.
Ah.
Belonging to the hall. This painting's from 1697. We know it was on a man-made platform dug out in the natural sandstone. That's the back of it there.
Right.
And the problem we've got is they were so good at dismantling it, we weren't finding any building rubble. It looks as though they took all the bricks, the glass and the lead away to reuse. We've found broken brick, we've found pottery broken, we've found bits of broken glass, about three pieces of lead glazing bar. But we've got features we don't understand cut into the sandstone. You can see the circular feature there and the one at the back. We're not certain what they are. They may have been dug to put soil in to give a plant a chance to start growing. But today's big find, you can see if we walk up the side of the trench.
Well, thank you so much for showing us this.
So are you part of like Nottinghamshire Archaeology Unit?
I'm a Nottingham City Heritage Champion.
Oh, lovely.
My degree's in archaeology.
Mine too.
Where did you see it?
Manchester.
Can you see those bricks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So there's like a line of bricks.
Possibly is a foundation.
Oh, amazing.
And you just found that today?
9 o'clock this morning. There,
wow.
First, it was thought it was just one layer of bricks. It now looks as though it's three layers deep, which is substantial enough to take the weight of a building. We won't know until they've done some more work on it.
Sure.
But of course, as you know, in archaeology, you have one theory in the morning, go away and have a cup of tea and then have another theory. So what happened, the building was there, according to the painting, in 1697. the following century, and it up until about 1810, this park was landscaped. The formal gardens that the Orangery was part of went out of fashion, so that was dismantled. This area was backfilled, and we think we're getting a lot of the backfill from the lake being excavated.
Oh, amazing.
Because we're getting pebbles that are water-worn.
Ah.
There's nothing to wear up here, but you've got a little stream down where the lake is.
Oh, wow.
And there's been some discussion about whether bricks from the Orangery were used to build the wall for the ha-ha, because over at the other side you've got the ha-ha, which is the sunken wall. So when you landscape this park, you're opening up vistas that you can look at. So there wouldn't have been as many trees as there are now, but every tree would be planted to help enhance the view.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want is a wall to keep the deer out, blocking that view. So you build a ha-ha, which is a sunken wall. And finds we've been getting, as I said, is building material, broken building material, but we've also had some clay pipe out, not as much as we'd expect.
Okay.
Right.
We've had some bricks that have been damaged by heat. The Orangery had a heating system which was a fire grate and flues to move warm air around it in the winter, because what you use the Orangery for is to protect your delicate plants. And in the painting, they're oranges in pots.
Oh, wow.
So in the winter, you'd move them into the Orangery to protect them. The other buildings that were lost is the alfresco dining room, which is a two-storey building. And where the rhododendrons are is where the bowling green was.
Great.
So what we're doing is teaching students, as you know, part of your degree you have to do field work.
You do.
So we've got students from the University of Nottingham, a PhD student from Oxford. It's been a multinational team. We've had French, American, Canadian, and Jersey.
And you're going really carefully around the tree roots. Do you have to really try and preserve them?
We have to preserve as many as we can, otherwise the tree dies.
Yeah.
At one time, you'd never dig under the canopy of a tree just because of the roots. It really slows the excavation down because you've got to work round and through the tree roots. We've also got people on the dig who are just here for the fun of it.
Sure.
They are here for the week just to get an idea of what archaeology is like. We've got other people who come along who are experienced diggers but don't have any formal qualifications. We have other people who are working towards their passport to archaeology. So you go on a dig, and at the end of your time on the dig, your passport's filled in by the site supervisor and saying what you've done, whether it's surveying, section drawing, plan drawing, excavation, even down to what your troweling technique's like. And when you go to another dig, then you can hand that over and they know what your skill level is.
Oh, wow.
This is all reminding me of my degree. I'm like troweling, getting someone going, you're going too hard, too fast, stay off the clay.
And this is a 5-week dig, and tomorrow is the last day for the trainees.
Oh, you've just found the wall?
Just found the wall, but...
better than last year.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Last year we found the wall on the very last day.
Oh, no.
So what will happen, the people from York Archaeology Nottingham, which used to be Trenton Peak Archaeology, they will be back next week and they'll finish any recording that needs doing, and then it'll all be backfilled. And we'll only come back again if it's felt by York Archaeology Nottingham, and I assume the City Council, that it would be useful to come back if we learn more about the site.
Wow.
Do you do the, I forget the name of it, when you get the soil samples and you wash them to get the organic matter?
No, we don't do wet sieving.
I love wet sieving. That's one of my favourite things to do.
We do dry sieving.
Yeah.
But we not on this site, no wet sieving.
I love wet sieving. I loved it when you used to get it and it all float up on a paper towel and dry it out, and you could see the seeds of what was there at the time, and it was great.
Yeah, well, that's not the sort of information we're looking for.
No. I suppose because you have some, almost like a primary source of this Orangery having existed, this is more, you go in knowing what you're expecting to find.
The only problem with the painting and using that for information is if you look at the painting, the perspective is rubbish. these people in the foreground and the coach are about 18 feet high. But what we do have from 10 years later, 1707, is an engraving where they're more interested in the garden than the house.
Yeah,
as you can see, the house is just a blob. But the garden is shown in more detail, and you can see there are not gardens between the terrace and the orangery.
Beautiful.
And there's also planting shown behind the orangery.
Yeah. That,
so this was all formal garden, and I like to think about the, even though we're not looking for it, the alfresco dining room. Again, it shows better on the painting. Down the ground floor is like a little grotto.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So the ladies, when they're promenading, rather than getting sunburnt, they could sit in there, because obviously it was at a time, if you were sunburnt, you were one of the peasants, not one of the aristocracy.
Yeah.
And because you've always got servants around in the main hall, if you want to have a private conversation, you can have an alfresco meal in the garden dining room and know that you've got no servants listening to
That's
you.
That's next year's dig. Try and find that one.
It's under the rhododendrons, unfortunately.
Oh, so you kind of the flower. So what was your name, sorry?
I'm Mick Woodward.
Hi, Mick. Thank you so much
Thank
for talking
you so
to
much.
Us.
You're welcome.
We're going to go for a wander around the garden, but best of luck with this, and thank you for having a chat with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was so fascinating. Thank you.
Bye.
That's such a cool thing to just stumble across.
I love people like that guy.
Oh, me too.
Just
so love it.
Yeah, have a passion. I suppose we're very lucky in the way that our job is our passion.
Oh, yeah, but we're not getting paid for this, Will. This is just a passion.
No, but in like comedy. Our job
is comedy.
But I suppose I don't think I could talk and sound so educated about comedy. Like, I could talk about comedy and the rules of comedy and whatever, but that guy just loves his job.
That is a prime example of a part of this podcast that when I edit this, I'll sit and listen to him be really interesting, you ask questions, and I will edit myself out saying, wow, just constantly, because there's nothing I can contribute to that conversation. So it'll just be me going, oh, wow, great, and sounding like an absolute moron.
Wow.
Hang on, what's this? A metal Tyrannosaurus. Meet Rory the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
His name's Rory.
He really has got tiny arms, that one. So there's like a wire statue of a dinosaur.
I absolutely love that your one comment on him is, he has got tiny arms, fair play.
And there we go. We've sort of come right the way around the gardens. Obviously, there is a ton more deer park and garden that you could explore. If you wanted to, we're probably not going to record ourselves just waffling around that. You'd go crazy, but hey, do join the Patreon if us waffling is what you secretly desire. So we're going to chat to Colin Holt about why he loves it here. I'm assuming he grew up around here, did he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Imagine, no, he just like heard it was good. Yeah, he did. He's from Nottingham area. If you do enjoy us waffling on and want to join the Patreon, please do head over to patreon.com/national treasures.
Hello to our newest patron, Kay. Hi, and Alistair. I don't think we've thanked you on the main Flavie, main podcast. We thanked you on the Patreon one, but thank you here as well. They are our newest delitioners. Welcome to the club. Don't forget to join the Discord, and your merch is in the post if you've given me your address.
So yeah, really nice day.
It's been lovely. I feel so chilled out, and just it was an easygoing museum. I don't feel stressed out that I didn't do enough.
No, and I think you're right. Like, at the minute, because just the ground floor is open, I would say mainly for locals. But when the rest of it's reopened, if the rest of the museum is in the same vibe as the ground floor, this is definitely worth a day out.
Yeah, and, you know, then you just go and sit with a picnic in the deer park and you just stare at the view for a bit.
Beautiful.
Lovely. If you've had a nice time, if you've got thoughts, if you've got ideas for what you want the deep dives to be about, you can get in touch with us at Treasures Pod on all social medias. And next week we'll be chatting to Colin, and then after that we will be... Oh, that's a squeaky gate, isn't it? We'll be doing the deep dives. So start having a think about what you want those to be based on this week's episode.
We love you. Goodbye.
We love you so much. Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.